Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Dr. Bessie. Saying thank you this morning for joining us for another exciting conversation with mothers and daughters around the world. Let's see here. It's a good day. As I say, it's a good day to be alive. God has blessed us with an opportunity to serve him another day. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. Let's get on it. Let's see. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. How are you, Dr. B?
I am fine.
Good job.
How are you doing?
All is well. Thank you. All is well. It is a great day because this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Mm-hmm. Better.
So all is well. and it comes down to choice. I was listening to Pastor Jeremiah yesterday, and he said, you know, trials and tribulations in life will either make you better or bitter, and you get to choose. So this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So I choose to be better today.
That's it. It's all about choices. He said, I give you one hand life, one hand death. You choose. But then he says, let me give you a little hint. Choose life. So everything is a crossroad. Every situation, every thought, every decision comes to a crossroad, and you have to make a decision. And we're making decisions on a split second all during the day. If we thought about how many decisions we make in a day, it would really blow people's minds. Because everything that you do, even to get up and walk to the bathroom, you have to make a decision. Nothing is done.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said nothing happens until you decide that you want it to happen. And when you decide you want it to happen, you make a decision. And then change comes. You will get the results of that decision. So we definitely have power and authority in our hand more than we even realize. So
absolutely,
but anyway,
absolutely. And you've said it before. We make it's every second. So and you have given the numbers before when it comes to how many seconds in a day. So it's every second that we're here, we have to make decisions. So it's interesting. So thanks for sharing that.
86,400. So if we make a decision every second, that's how many. Thank you for bringing that, because that brings it round to a figure. That's 86,400 seconds in a day. That's how many decisions that you can possibly make in a day. That's a lot of decisions, isn't it?
Yeah. Amen. That's a lot of decisions.
And we don't realize the program to do all of that. I mean, because you're making a decision just to see something, to look over at the tree, look back over here at this side, look at the clouds, look over here. All that is a decision that you're making. And people don't realize how many decisions that they're making. And then when they have to come to certain decisions, well, oh, I can't make that decision. I don't know how to make decisions. Really? You made a decision to say that you didn't know how to make the decision. So come on with it. God is awesome. I love him. I love him. I love him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so,
absolutely.
Yeah, and it brings it back to our topic this morning. Mothers, nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. Now, that was the message that the Lord placed on my heart this morning, along with some teachings that he taught me this week and some understandings of some things, you know, in a deeper level of wisdom. And, you know, nothing happens. And it's just as deep, and it's so amazing because what we're talking about now is a part of that lesson. And I'm just thinking, wow, okay, here we go. It's just as deep because, oof, you think that you're doing something, but you're really not. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to let you give us the prayer, Cynthia, and then I'm going to go into what the Lord has placed on my heart, and then I'll come back. Deborah's not with us this morning. She did text me and said she would not be here today. She wasn't with us last week. So we miss you, Deborah.
Okay.
And, yeah, and so hopefully she'll be back next week. Next week we'll be traveling. So
yes,
we might do the radio program and then leave the head back up. We might just do that.
Okay.
Have and...
I thought that was the plan anyway. So, you know, so that's awesome. Okay, Deborah, we do miss you. Always so awesome to hear your voice and come in and bring us your perspective. So we do miss you and have a great day. Father God, we come before you just thanking you for this is the day that you have made. We choose to be glad in it. We thank you, God, for the task that you put before us. We thank you for this radio show. We pray that something will be said that will edify you first and then bring somebody else up. And it's all about raising the bar and it's making a decision to be where you are with our thoughts. But Father God, we thank you, Father God. We know that we can never measure up to your thoughts, but you are calling us higher every day. And it's based on how we respond to life. Are we going to respond? Are we going to react? If you're reacting to life as opposed to responding to life, then you're choosing to give the enemy the upper hand. And so, Father God, we come against the enemy in the name of Jesus, knowing that you are forever with us and that because of that, all things are new if we have come to believe in you. So, Father God, we can choose to have a new perspective because all things are new once we come to believe that your Son is Lord. And so, Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Father God, that something will be said that will give someone a different perspective about this thing called life. Father, we know and we've come to believe that nothing happens unless you allow it. All we got to do is look at the book of Job, how the enemy of approached you and you gave him permission to have at it with Job. But we thank you, Father God, that you put limits up even on that. You gave him permission to go so far. And so, Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for the trials and tribulations that you allow in our lives because it is what will either make us better or bitter. And I thank you that I've chosen in this moment to be better. And we just thank you, Father God, for our fearless leader, Dr. Bessie Fletcher. And we pray, Father God, and we thank you that she continues to study your word and bring us what you give her every Saturday. And so, Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for Deborah and her wisdom and knowledge and what awesome wisdom and knowledge she too brings because she too is a seeker of your word. And so, Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you've put us together, that we are able to bring different perspectives so people can hear it from different perspectives. Because we do know that what one hear from me may not hear from Deborah. It's all based on It's just something about the voice, and it's something about the delivery that a person will receive from either one of us, from the three of us. So we just thank you. We love you, Father God. We come to believe that you are all-powerful, and the enemy can do nothing unless you allow it. And so, Father God, we just thank you for that. We thank you for your awesome power. We thank you for our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. If we just get to a point that we're going to take a second to use your word, because that is the only thing that makes him back down. And so, Father God, we thank you for your word in your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
All right. That's the only thing that'll back him up. All right. Thank you, Cynthia. That was very nice. Thank you, God.
You're welcome.
And be right back. All right. That was a co-host, Cynthia Oliver, and with the prayer. And we just thank you, Father God. We just love you. And it's so amazing. Everybody's on their own track. Our topic this morning is going to take us down a journey that you can see the workings of God, but you can see also how you line up in your own track, or some people say your own lane. So our topic this morning is mothers, nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. And when you think about that topic, you know, sometimes we want to say it was the devil. The devil made me do it. Takes you back to that show. Can't think of the guy's name. I used to say the devil made me do it. And it was a joke. But see, when you say things like that, you give in power and authority to the devil to do things in your life. So I used to say it all the time. It wasn't that but Satan. Satan did this, Satan did that, you know. And it's giving him all kinds of power. I stopped that foolishness because my spirit told me, the Holy Spirit's like, you know, you're giving him power. Words are power. Words are powerful. Words are God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So every word you speak is God. How do you use that word? It's your intent of that word. How do you use that word? Because every word you use, you're speaking in reference of God. Because he said he is the word. So now what word is he not? So think about that. If he's the word, every word, regardless of what word, came from him, his creation. Every animal, every plant, the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, the clouds, the rain, the wind, the lightning, snow, hail, you name it. Everything was created, and it was created in that six-day span, and the seventh day he rests. So nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. Because everything was created by the word. He spoke it and it exists. So if you think about it, everything is the word. He spoke to Adam. He created Adam, let it be. We'll make him after our image. And, you know, I used to wonder when he was talking, I'm like, who in the world was God talking to? He said, let's make him after our image. And so then, you know, people would say, oh, but then that's because God had a wife. Make him after, that's not it, I don't think. I think it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those are the threesomes. always from the beginning of time. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you, I was here before any of this happened. But the thing that we don't realize is that the earth is not the only planet. It's a part of a bigger picture. It's just one dot in the whole scheme of the whole universe that was created by God. We're just another project that he has to create the earth and to create another form of life and to put his image in that life. But who's to say there isn't other planets that have similar forms of people? If not called people, something else. We always focus on this earth. Sometimes I think people believe this is all there is. But if you look at the solar system, you'll know this is not all there is. This is his project. He created us for his own pleasure. And when you have power and authority and you can speak something into existence, you can create wherever you want to enjoy. And he extended that to us. And he sent Jesus to tell us, show them. I want you to go. I'm going to suit up. This is the body I'm creating. I'm coming through you. We pick the right person. Mary, I want you to be the person that that brings me into this earth in this body form. This is who I want to come through. This is who I want to raise me, to direct me as a child, as I grow, Joseph. The whole thing was orchestrated perfectly and in order. And he knew when he was going to be born. He knew how he was going to grow up, but he knew there was a purpose. And when it came time, and you think about it, it was 30 years. See, everything happens in threes. So the first 10 years of Jesus' life, we don't know anything about, according to the book, the Bible. But the second 10 years of Jesus' life, we started hearing a little bit about him at the age of 12. It's the third 10 years. You know, you got first, the second, and the third, so 30 years. So this is the bottom up in 10, 10, 10. Now, when he's 30, God looked at him as being mature. He's ready to do this. His time has come. Like he told his mother, my time has not come. So he knew he was here for a reason and a purpose. So now 30 comes along. He knows now his time has come. And then he had to start on his journey. And as he was traveling, he was led to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist out there just telling people, come, get baptized, get ready. I'm telling you because he's coming. And boy, he looks up and see him and he's like, oh my God, here he comes. This is the one I was talking about. You know, I'm not worthy to even touch the laces on his shoes, you know. But Jesus knew that John the Baptist was set before him, his front runner. But John the Baptist was sent for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that was to baptize Jesus. Because Jesus knew that he was following the instructions of his Father. And can you imagine in his mind, in his head, just like with you, you're talking to the Father now. You get to talk to the Father because of Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Prior to that, people didn't get to talk to God unless he decided he wanted to talk to you. And he made it happen. He decided, okay, I want to talk to Moses. Moses so shocked, burning bush. You're like, what? And this voice coming out speaking to Moses. Now, I can't even imagine God speaking from heaven down and said, Bessie, I don't know what I would do. Would I run? Would I stay still? You know, I mean, a voice coming out of the sky. I've heard people say they've heard it. I don't doubt it because God can do whatever he wants to do in his word. He put the word out there, and he showed you. He's spoken to Moses. He's letting you know, I speak to Moses. I'm no respected person. I can speak to you. So you can expect God to speak to you audibly anytime if you choose to do it. He's letting you know I can do it if I want to, and I already, it's written, it's done, so it can't happen again. So you can imagine him talking to Jesus. If he talked to Moses, you know he talked to Jesus. Now, this is what you're going to do, and this is what's going to happen. I need you to go down there, and John's going to baptize you, and then you're going to start your journey. His ministry starts after the baptism. His healing, his power, his authority was given after the baptism. And sometimes I think, you know, when people get saved and they feel like they don't have to be baptized, and I'm thinking, if you're a Christian and you say you're following Jesus, then to follow Jesus is to do what Jesus does or did and to say what Jesus said, because the power is in that. That's the demonstration. Those are the instructions. If you do anything else other than that, then you're not following Christ. And there's simple things as accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you got to be baptized, because you don't have the power and authority that God has given you without the baptism. There's no shortcut. You can't do it any other way. If Jesus had to do it, then we have to do it. That's why he came, to show you how it's done, because there are so many people saying different things and doing different things, and God just got fed up. Look, you know, I tried Moses, I tried Joshua and Aaron, and then tried Elijah, and, you know, everybody had something that they fell short of. David, Solomon, everybody, Abraham, everybody fell short somewhere. And he's like, okay, I'm going to have to do this myself, because I have got to be an example that they can see, and an example to let them see that I can come in and save them if they accept my word, if they believe me. Why am I saying all of this? I'm telling you this because the topic today, mothers, nothing happened unless God allows it to happen. Why am I just saying mothers? I could say mothers and daughters, because mothers are so paramount to the outcome of the children. Even if you have a grown daughter right now, a mother could set her daughter down. If she spoke to that daughter in the right tone, in the right spirit, I don't care what their past has been, that daughter is going to humble herself under that spirit and that tone in which the mother is speaking. But if you come to her loud, blaming, she's going to flip back to something that happened, and when she flips back in it, then she's going to come back with that same tone that she had before, and that's really the biggest upset between a mother and daughter. It's your tone. It's your level of communication. But if you humble yourself, mother, and you really get into the spirit of love and speak to your daughter out of the spirit of love, love will wrap around her. She will humble herself. It's hard for somebody to curse you out when you're being nice and loving. If you really coming from your heart, it's hard. The two can't stay in the same place. So I'm speaking to mothers because you need to know in order to teach your children. Nothing happens in your life, in this world, unless God allow it to happen. And sometimes we don't understand why God allowed them. Well, okay, then Dr. Bessie, what are you saying? God allowed this to happen, or God allowed that to happen? You know, I can name several things, but I'm not trying to blame or shame or, you know, put anybody else in this message. You know what you believe. Did God allow this to happen? Nothing. You hear the word nothing? Nothing means nothing. Nothing. Nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. He has a reason for allowing it to happen. And in my study this past week, it was shown to me the reason God allowed, the person said, well, why would God allow bad things to happen to good people? But see, you have to remember what Jesus said. Why do you call me good? Somebody said, good master. Why do you call me good? I'm not good. The only good person is the Father. See, good people, that's an interpretation that somebody is so good that they can experience life or trials and tribulations, but Jesus wasn't good enough, I guess, so he had to go through trials and tribulations. Are you better than Jesus? So there is no good person. We are all humans walking around carrying a spirit in the body, and we're experiencing life on this earth. It has nothing to do with good. It has to do with faith, believing. Do you believe what God said? Do you know why he sent you here? Do you know your purpose? Once you understand your purpose and you living in your purpose and you are fulfilling your purpose, then you are going to be challenged. And then you will say, God, where are you? You will feel that God has left you. You will feel that God somehow or another don't understand that you need this, that, and the other to make this happen. Why would you ask me to do this, God, knowing that I didn't have the money? Why would you ask me to do this knowing that I don't have the resources or the connections or the people or whatever to make this happen? Because he don't want you to have the resources, the money, and the people. He wants you to have him. He is all that you need. And nothing happens unless that he says it happened. And it's going to happen when you get your faith aligned with his faith. When you believe what he says and don't doubt it and not wiggling and wobbling and on it sometimes, off of it sometimes, and then all of a sudden crying out, wanting God to do something, and then the next minute you own it, the next minute you doing what you want to do. You got to stay in your lane, you got to stay focused, and you got to keep your eyes on Jesus, because he can't see you anyway except through Jesus Christ, because we are full of what? Sin around a sinful world. Jesus is the one that shields us. Jesus is the interceder that stands between me and God. He's the one that delivered the message. The Holy Spirit is the one that keeps you, reminds you of the word, help you along the way, to comfort you. But nothing happens unless God says it's going to happen. He has to get the approval. And then that takes us back. You say, okay, well, what does that mean? See, when you listen to Jesus, he tells you. He told us in the Bible, John 15:19 is one example. There's several places in there. But I looked at John. You know, John said, you know, John thought he was Jesus' favorite. You know, no, he didn't. He figured Jesus didn't love none of the rest of them like he loved him. You know, there again, if that was true, then the word would be a lie. He said, I have no respect of person. But see, John, his intentions was, I'm a butter up to Jesus. And I'm sure he loved him. But Jesus loved them all. He chose them all. Even Judith, he chose every last one of them. And to say he made a mistake is to say that he didn't know something. He knew all things. So he knew from the beginning Judith was going to do what he was going to do. He knew that was a part of the plan. And just imagine him walking around with Judas with him, knowing that he is the one and what his role was going to be. But yet he loved him, he ate with him, and he didn't treat him any differently. If you knew somebody was setting you up, plotting for your murder, how could you just walk around, eat with them, and laugh with them, and love on them, and not let them know? Because he knew nothing was going to happen until God said it was going to happen. And that's why he said, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. If not anything, he may see the Father doing. For whatever he does, these things also the Son does likewise. So he knew he couldn't heal anybody. He knew he could do no miracles unless the Father allowed it to happen. And if we took a page out of the book of Jesus' life, if we just said, you know, I'm going to take this one piece and I'm going to hold on to this one piece, the one piece being, I'm going to say what Jesus said the Father said, and I'm going to do what Jesus said the Father said that we can do. And I'm going to ask the Father permission to do anything I feel that I want to do. We don't ask for permission. We just tell God what we want him to do. See, that's why you don't get what you want. You tell God. Jesus never said, I told God, God, I want you to do this. And God, I'm hoping that you'll do this. And God, da-da-da-da-da-da. And God, if you, I need you to do this, and you know this coming up. And God, Jesus, and God, you said, and God, you said, that attitude is not going to get him to give you permission for anything. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you and ask permission to do so-and-so. Would you grant that? That's who you're asking. And when you ask, that's what he said, ask. Don't tell me what I can do. I'm God. I created you. It's just like your children, mothers. If your daughter came to you and told you, now look at here, Linda, this is what I need for you to do. You first thing you would do is say, excuse me, little girl. Are you talking to me? I know you want to spank her behind. So what difference do you think that God will do? You go to God, tell him, look at here, God. Now look, this is what I want you. You call him Father, God, Abba, whatever. This is what I need, and this is what you said. And da-da-da-da-da, and you talking in that tone. And then God looking at you, really? Do you think he need to spank your behind too? Because we all got somebody we answer to. So now, you got a different perspective on this thing. Don't ask him with the intent of telling him. You ask him with the humble heart of permission. If I'm buying a pair of shoes, and I say this, and someone, you know, they kind of laugh at me sometimes. You think it's silly. I always say, Holy Spirit, show me the shoes that I need to find. Or Holy Spirit, I need a dress. Show me which one I'm supposed to get. I talk to the Holy Spirit just like that. And when I go in and I'm looking for a pair of shoes, I say, Holy Spirit, show me the shoes. Where are they? You know, boom. I find those shoes, and those shoes are wearing real comfortable. But if I go in there and get a pair of shoes without asking permission, the heel could break, I could twist my ankle, anything could happen. He said, in all things, seek ye. But we want to seek him for the things that we want to seek him for, and the things that we don't want to seek him for, we just, oh, no, we got power and authority now. I don't need you for this one now. I just need you for when I need you. So you rest over here until I need you, and then I'll come to you. But if you practice with the little things, asking permission, just like he was your earthly father, if you go to your earthly father and say, Daddy, can I do so and so and so? He said, what more will the earthly father give to their children that I would not give to mine? So you're saying that your earthly father is more lenient, more giving than your heavenly father, your creator? Because it's a little girl. But, you know, with my daddy, I knew if I asked my daddy for something, I was going to get it. If I asked my daddy, I was going to get it. So I would say to daddy, Daddy, you know, can I have so-and-so and so? Daddy, can I do? And when he said to me, Daddy, I'll do it. That's just the way to say it. Yeah, Daddy, I'll do that. Yeah, Daddy. I never doubted it. I would go and say, my daddy's going to do so-and-so and so. Because he never really lied to me. If he told me he was going to do it, if he said, Daddy, going to do it, that was it for me. Daddy, going to do it. And Daddy did it. But I didn't ask him for anything crazy. I would ask for what I really wanted or what I really thought I need. Daddy would look at me, think about it, and if he said, Daddy, do it, then I could go on. So now, why wouldn't I think that about my father, who created my daddy, who created me? So you just have to align your mind to see how this thing flows. So I use that same perspective with the Father. Father, Jesus said it. And Jesus said that you said. And I know that to be the truth. And if you heard Jesus, you will hear me. Because see, now I have authority and power to speak through Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I come. And then I ask. I'm learning to ask. I haven't always done that. I used to be crying and acting the fool and just upset because I would even put a day when I thought something should happen. Give that time frame. Like I got something to do with time. Don't even know if I'm going to be here the next second. And I'm going to tell God I want it in 72 hours. Stupid stuff. Because what, that's sometimes you see that on television and you have people that preach that way. In 72 hours, if you make a vow in 72 hours, God's going to bless you. And you get caught up in that craziness because you think they know what they talk about until you read and understand, hey, what did Jesus say? Did Jesus ever say anything like that? Did Jesus ever say, if you do this and then 24 hours, this is going to happen, or 72 hours? No. You ask him. He asked you, do you believe? He said, yes, be it unto you. At the most I've ever read, and I'm not a Bible scholar, I read. But I remember the story where he told the man to go. The man was blind, he spit in the dirt, put it on his eye, then he told me to go into the river and wash his eyes. But everything was done when you said, do you believe? Do you believe in the word of God? If you believe in the word of God, God will grant you. He will allow things to happen only if it's going to be to your best benefit. Because sometimes we ask for things that we don't need. We don't need it right now because God knows the scope. He knows the overall scope of your life. He knows what's coming ahead of you. He knows the people that you're going to interact with. He knows at this time, this moment, no, you don't need it right now. And so sometimes we don't get what we want because of where we are and we're not ready for it. If we get it, it could cause us to lose our soul. So sometimes when we ask for, especially money, he knows that money is the root of all evil if you love money. And it's so easily to fall in love with money. You know, people say, I don't love money. He had to bring me down to zero aught, nothing, break me down from millionaire status to zero to show me it's not money, Bessie. It's me. I'm the one. I allow these things to happen into your life. When you got those things, it wasn't about money buying it. It wasn't about the people that you thought brought it to you was being nice to you. It's because I allow them to bring it to you. So we got to go to the head and then let it flow down. Who allowed you to wake up this morning? Who allowed your feet to walk? Who allowed your eyes to open and you to see? Who allowed your mouth to talk, your tongue to move? Who allowed the ears to hear, your nose to smell? Who allowed your body to breathe and to move around? Who allowed that? Who allowed another day, the sun to rise, the moon to set? Who allowed that? Who allowed you to have food on your table this morning? To be in a place, to live in a place. If we look at a car to drive, if we look at ourselves, especially people here in America, and if you go on a mission trip, I tell everybody needs to go on a mission trip. Until you go on a mission trip, you don't know how blessed you are. You really don't know how blessed you are. There are people out here, we are queens and kings, and we are living the life of Raleigh. That's why people are killing themselves trying to get to the United States of America. The freedom alone to move around, to roam. When you go to foreign countries, they're living in slums. They can't go and do and say. They're slaves within that whole culture. And we don't realize how good we have. But when I went on the mission trips and came back, I'm telling you, I've been feeling like a billionaire ever since. I said, Lord Jesus, how ungrateful have I been. Got so much, but yet always thinking it's not enough. Always thinking it's got to be something else. I get up and look at my place and I say, Lord, thank you. There's no better place that I could have to live than this place that I'm living in. And I thank God for it. I don't need a 7-bedroom, 6-car garage, 2 or 3 mink coats and diamonds all over the place. It's just foolishness. You can't take that stuff with you. But look at where you are. Who allowed you to be in this place? God. But most importantly, who allowed you to have peace, to bring joy into your life? Who allowed you to be in good health? God, nothing happens unless God allow it. And when he allows something to happen, you better believe he's going to get the glory, because what he does, he's going to allow it to get your attention, to move you closer to him. Because when you get into a situation and you don't know where else to go, you're going to cry out to the Father. You're going to ask for help, and he's going to be right there waiting on you. So nothing is allowed that God won't get the glory. It's going to bring you closer. Like Job, the enemy can you believe it? Talking. He wanted to get to Job. He thought Job was too good. He thought Job was good. I just want to show God something. I'm going to show him how I can break his supposedly good man down. And God knew. He knew Job. Okay, go ahead. But you can't take his life. because that belongs to me. You can challenge him to see what choices he'll make. You'll see. When Job looked like he was going down it, you know, sometimes you have to move people from around you. Your friends, are they really your friends? Job, you just need to curse God, and his wife told him that. You need to curse God and die. What kind of wife was that? Friends, look at the God you serve. Paraphrasing here. Look at the God you serve. Why would your God allow you to go through this? This ain't the kind of God I want to serve. And all of a sudden, it kicked in. And in my mind, I'm thinking God spoke to Job. He touched his heart. Remember, Holy Spirit, remember Job? Because he said the Holy Spirit will remind us of all things. Something happened, and Job remembered. And Job said, no, I trust God. And that's when it flipped. I trust God. And it always brings me back to the four words that's the cornerstone of the Bible. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. You have faith in God. Because you, in order to have faith in God, is to know nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. In John 12:49, Jesus said, I only say what the Father who sent me to say. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me command me to say all that I've spoken. So if Jesus had to do it, then who are we not to do it? He's telling you, I can't do nothing unless God gives me permission to do it. If I say something other than what he told me, you think he was going to get those results? No. Because he knew the permission was in the saying. The permission was God said to do this, that was giving him permission, and God was going to allow it to happen. So if God tells you to do something, do it. Because if in the doing, he's going to allow the results to happen. But do you believe that? That's the key. You have to believe that in order for the permission to manifest. Now I'm going to go to the switchboard. Go back to Cynthia here. Good morning again, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. B. Well, you said a lot. And it's the one thing that stuck out for me was that your rearing helps you. Because you had a father that taught you to trust, it's easier for you to trust the Heavenly Father. And for those like myself who didn't have that type of father that you can trust to be a man of his word, then it's more difficult. I can only speak for me. It's more difficult. And it has been more difficult for me because of my rearing. I didn't have a father that I can trust his words. And so it's just interesting to know how you had a father, and we are studying from for this class that we're taking now, our woundedness. It's a wound that has, out of much prayer and much constantly talking myself into trusting God's word, that I'm getting there. Not there yet, but I'm getting there. I'm learning to trust God's word because ask my Heavenly Father. He's really the only father that I've ever, when I was growing up, that I could, it was just me and God in my mind. I didn't know a lot about the word or scripture, but I knew that there was a God because I didn't have anybody to talk to me about God. but I knew that there was a force, and I believed that it was just me and God growing up my entire life. That's how I knew I was going to be more than the sum of my life, because I knew that there was a God that was protecting me. I was a little bit different than my siblings and cousins that I grew up around, but it has been so difficult in my adult life getting to this point where I can trust the word, because I didn't have a father that I could trust. And so you made a point, oh, by the way, audience, that saying that Dr. Fletcher saying the devil made her do it, that was from Flip Wilson. And it all comes down to decisions. So I shared my experience to say this, mothers, when you don't teach your children that they can trust you, because God in heaven, there's no male or female. You are the parent. If you are a single mom, you are the parent, and you are the one to teach her how to trust, that she can trust the parent. And so if you're not teaching her by being a woman of your word, then she's going to have difficulty learning to trust not only the Heavenly Father, but other people in her life. Because that's a woundedness that she has occurred in the absence of you being a woman of your word. And so we as mothers have to get to a place where we are who we say we are, and we do what we say we're going to do when it comes to our children. I hope that makes sense to the conversation. Because when you don't know how to do something, you have to learn how to do it. And as an adult, you're 100% responsible for you learning how to trust the word, to trust God. And you have to put in the study time to gain the confidence in order that you can trust God. I'm getting there. And I'm trusting him more and more every day. And I'm standing on his word more and more every day. But it's been hard for me because of my rearing. So when God tells me to do something, I've learned to just do it, trusting him in all things. When my son Keith was diagnosed with cancer, I remember getting that call on my way back from my lunch break to confirm that it was cancer. And I remember picking up the phone to call a couple of my friends who had been there at the hospital with me when he was having the biopsy. Nobody answered the phone. And I sat in that car in the parking lot, and I said, okay, Father God, you want me to talk to you. And I always keep a devotional something in my car. And I pulled out my devotional book. And the very next page that I was supposed to read for that day, it said, trust me. And so I went through those 2 years of my son going through chemo and radiation and all of that stuff, trusting God, because he told me that I can trust him in this situation. If you don't teach your children to seek the word and you be a woman of your word, then she's going to have a woundedness about trust. And if she can't trust you, who she can see, how are you going to teach her to trust a Heavenly Father that she can't see? I hope that makes sense to the discussion. And if Jesus had not done what his mother told him to do, then he would have been in disobedience. There are so many points that Dr. Fletcher brought out. But it all has to do with trusting time, trusting what your parent is telling you to do, trusting God, because he is your ultimate parent. I hope that makes sense, Dr. Fletcher.
It does. I'm listening. You're teaching.
And so and then even John the Baptist had to make a decision to do what Jesus was asking him to do.
he was resistant to baptize Jesus because he didn't think he was good enough to do it. But God chose him to do it. And he had to make a decision. And for those who want to know, that isn't, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I thought you had to pause. Go ahead.
No. Okay, but yeah, that's, I was, that's in Matthew 3, the baptism of Jesus, and how John was hesitant to baptize him because he didn't think he was qualified to do it. It's just amazing, these points that you brought out, Dr. Fletcher, and it all goes to being able to trust the Father, trust the Word. And then you made another point about being good enough. We can't be greater than the student. I mean, greater than the teacher. Jesus is our teacher. Everything that he did, we are to follow in his footsteps because we're made in his image. He did what his parents told him to do. He did what his earthly mother told him to do at that wedding. That was his first miracle. Then he did what God told him to do to get baptized. He only does what the Father tells him to do. We can only do what our parents teach us to do. If we as mothers don't teach our children to trust, that we can trust by their actions, then we're going to have a real hard time trying to trust our Heavenly Father that we can't see. It's a woundedness that we have. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. As you were talking, I was thinking, you know, John had to make a decision, even when Jesus would tell him, you know, this must happen. This has got to happen. He had to convince John. He's telling John, look, this must happen in order for the fulfillment of what God's plans were. You must baptize me. He had to make a decision. Finally, he made the decision to baptize him. But I'm thinking back when Jesus, when we're talking about him, you know, not knowing anything from day one, you know, a little bit about him until about age two, and then the skip, because at first I said we didn't know anything about his first 10 years, but we did because Herod was trying to kill him. So we did know he ran and his father and mother took him back, so I wanted to correct that. That was his first 10 years. So we got something in each of the 10 years. But when he was in his 20, heading into his 30th birthday, what did we learn in those 10 years? In those 10 years, he must have listened to his father because they said he was a carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter. So you can only imagine Joseph told him, I'm going to teach you this trade. And he agreed and made a decision to become a carpenter. You see what I'm saying? So we're seeing the pattern of him being obedient and following the advice that people give him, you know, his father and his mother, then, you know, of course, his ultimate father, God. Everything is about, like you say, trust. Trust is based on your faith. Trust and faith is faith. You've got to trust God in order for him to move in your life. He said, I do nothing. Faith is the only thing that moves God. And you can't have faith without having trust, because they're like Siamese twins. You can't have faith without trust. How can I have faith in
and
you without trust?
Amen. And trust is taught. Parents are responsible for teaching their children to trust them. Then when they're getting older, they can learn to trust other people and they can trust the Word. But if you have not been taught to trust, then you're going to struggle to trust a Heavenly Father that you can't see because you couldn't trust your own earthly father or your own earthly mother in their doings. It's all about actions, as Dr. Fletcher said. And what she was talking about, John 13 through 15, it talks about that moment where John had to be obedient and listen to what Jesus was telling him to do. He had to make a decision to do it. We have to make a decision to trust. It don't come. It don't come. If you don't have it, it ain't going to just drop out of the sky and you just going to trust
all at once. You're going to have to go to the word. You're going to have to be determined to stand on the word. You're going to have to be determined to trust the word that God has put before us. And I heard this yesterday by Dr. Jeremiah as well. He said life is an open book test. And guess what? We have the book. We have the book to learn how to trust.
Well, I'm gonna
every trial that God allows us to go through, we have the answers in the book. It's an open book test. You can't fail unless you don't go to the answers.
Unless you want to fail. But I want to say this because we have time, Lord, this thing's gone by so fast. But I want to say this. When you said something today, it really brought out something in me that it just tapped in a new awareness when you say, because of I wasn't telling it about my father thinking the way that you were thinking, but when you brought it to my attention, I didn't realize it was through my daddy here on earth that taught me to trust. And then I realized then, you know, that's the way it was with mother. If mother said no, it was no. She was not going to change her mind, and I didn't like her for it. I thought she was a mean mama. She just, you know, she would not play the game with you. She's going to think about it, and when she thought about it, oh, Lord, when she said no, I hated it because I knew she was not going, there was nothing I could do. But she said, if I change my mind, then I'm a liar. And she was not going to be a liar. That was her take on it. So I thought about it before I said it. And even if she thought she was wrong, she was not going to change her mind because she said, then I told you no. And then I turn around and tell you yes. Then the next time you will look for me to play that same game. So I'm going to stick with my decision. And so I didn't realize until now that what they've done in that training was to teach me how to trust. That's amazing. All right, audience, we got to go. Hold on.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen out there, this is our show. It was a good show, Cynthia. It was a good show.
Yes,
we need 2 hours on it. It was a good show. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Ma'am. Looking forward to you getting here. God's willing, life lasts.
Yes, it is going to be a wonderful week this week. All right, God bless you. Bye, audience.
Bye, audience. Love you guys.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.